Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle.
I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the punch on third and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
Where's my friend Jim Morrow when we need him? Playoffs? Playoffs? We're talking playoffs?
I just can't do it with the music playing, that's
yeah,
all.
Yeah, I understand. Well, that's okay, because the playoffs are finally here. This is a day, this is a week that literally we've all been waiting for now, for what now, 20 weeks? You know, 17 weeks through the regular season. Exhibition, I mean, you know, I guess I'll give us the, you know, start of the preseason before we get into it, and we obviously don't do this program until the regular season gets started, so at least in this program, this is, you know, 18, this is week 18, and so it's been 18 to 20 weeks, we've kind of looked ahead, nobody in their right mind, and I know I've got some Facebook fans and friends that have already argued otherwise with me in that forum in particular, but nobody really thought that what has transpired would transpire. I mean, I know we have some fans who are saying, oh, I thought 13-3 was pot. Well, that's great. That's fine. Okay. You know what? I'll pat you on the back. You want a pat on the back? There you go. Feel better now? But realistically speaking, no one here really expected that. No one in the national media expected that. PFW didn't expect that. I didn't expect that. Kevin didn't expect. Nobody expected it. That's what makes this so special. That's what makes this really cool. This is why it compares favorably in our estimation, and we've talked a little about this year. It does compare favorably to 2001 because it was so stinking unexpected. Nobody could fathom what was happening. You couldn't really get a grasp on it all until it was over. And it's like, holy crap, we just won the Super Bowl. And I don't know that we'll get that kind of a reaction if this team does go on to win the Super Bowl, but because I do believe that there are a lot of fans here, and some of you are this way, and admittedly so. Some of you are entitled. Some of you feel entitled, like, okay, this is almost like our birthright now because this is what the Patriots have done, and you know, since the turn of the century, the turn of the decade, the turn of the millennium, whatever you want to call it, and so this is our time. We paid for it all those years, for all those crappy seasons that the Patriots had all those years ago. This is our time. Well, it might be. And if that's the way you choose to look at it, I'm okay with that, to be honest with you. And I embrace that on this show. PFW embraces that. We all embrace that here because we're here for you. But the one thing that Playbook will do, one thing that we'll try to do here, and we've always tried to do, is we try to bring in both sides of the story, all right? We want to balance it out a little bit. I want you to be able to make an educated opinion because that's what I strive for every day. I have an opinion. I have a take. I share it with you. And based on my research, based on who I talk to, who I listen to, who I read, and you're included in that, my opinion can change, and I reserve the right to change my opinion. Why? Because that's what we do. We all do it. In the information exchange age in which we live, we all have our opinions always change. It's never exactly the same from day one to day last of a season. It never is. Everything changes over the course of the season. If you said this Patriots team was going 14-2, and they actually go 14-2, and I don't believe there are any of you who are like that today, but all right, let's just play, you know, devil's advocate here. If you did do that, and this team did go 14-2, my guess is you're still not flaunting it. Why? Why aren't you flaunting it? Because no one will believe you, and everybody will look at you like you got six heads. So you're just taking it in stride. And deep down, you don't even believe it yourself. You might have done that just because you're a fan. You're an unabashed fan. And, you know, you could care less. Okay, that's fine. And you got lucky. But it certainly didn't have anything to do with any prescience that you might have had, or looking into crystal ball and seeing that Tom Brady was going to have an MVP year, or that Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, of all people, was going to rush for 1,000 yards, or Wes Welker was still going to come back and have almost 1,000 yards receiving after going through what he did a year ago, that this team would have arguably the best offensive line in the NFL, even with Logan Mankins not coming back until halfway through the season. I mean, nobody foresaw that. Even tea leaf readers didn't see that. So let's just set, you know, the prediction stuff aside for a moment. This team is 14-2. They got the best record in the NFL. I remember early on in the year we were talking about getting out of the first 4 weeks at 2-2. Did we not say that, Kevin? We were talking about the first 4 weeks getting out of 2-2 going into the bye week, right? And we got through it 3-1. And we thought, oh, my God, this is great. Now we're in great shape. Now we can look ahead. Now we can get in there into the teeth of the schedule, which is what really we had at 3-1. And we could do some damage. And not only did they get through 3-1, they got through the through 8 weeks at 6-2. And we're thinking, all right, even better. I was thinking 5-3. Originally, I thought 4-4. But I'm thinking, all right, 5-3 is great. We got through 6-2.
Yeah, they came a long way.
Oh my goodness! And then not only 6-2, then you go 8-0 on the back end of that. That, I mean, come on, compartmentalize here for a moment with me. Play along with me for a second.
Yeah.
If you can. Just get your hands around that for a second. Think of the enormity of that going 8-0, especially with wins like they had against the Jets and Chicago and, you know, and holding off Green Bay and then pummeling the Dolphins. I mean,
They had like probably five blowouts. When you think of the Lions, the Jets, the Bears, the Dolphins,
right,
and the Bills were all 40-something to three.
They were behind in the third quarter of that Lions game on Thanksgiving.
And then they just decided, hey, see you later.
They just put the pedal on the metal. They put the pedal to the metal. That's all they did. And they just floored right by him.
Bulldozed him.
And it just flew by him. And they never looked back. If there was a seminal moment in the season, the players have already talked about it. I would say it, yeah, it's got to be after Cleveland. That Cleveland game woke this team up. They got their asses beat
by
Cleveland.
They seemed to rally around that game.
Yeah. And they managed to come through. Every team, every great team, every championship season has a seminal moment. Clearly, it was that moment. I would challenge each of us today. Let's go back a little further and see if we can find a play or a stretch where you really kind of think this turned around for this team. Now, I have not dug in yet. I have not dived into that yet. I'm thinking some of you have, and I'd really be interested to see what you have to say. Where was the turnaround moment for this team? I've given you Cleveland as a game, and the players have even said as much in the locker room. They said it after the game. They've said it before the game. You know, Cleveland woke us up. Vince Wilfork has said that several times. Cleveland woke us up. What play? What series? What touchdown? What happened, in your estimation, where the switch was flipped on? Webradio@patriots.com is the email address, of course, where you reach us. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482. And, yes, Facebook page is up. So you can post it there. You can chat with us there. If you're not with us on Facebook, just submit the friend request to John Rook. Rooke is the last name. We'll answer the request, but please put down in your request Patriots Playbook. That way we know. And we'll accept the request, and we'll talk some football. It's that easy. It's that easy. Now, that really is not the question of the day. After that, it's not the question of the day. My question of the day is a little bit more simplistic, because I've gone back and forth with this. Maybe, Kevin, you can offer an opinion too here. But my question of the day is, who do you want to face in the first round? I'm sure you've talked about this amongst your friends. I know they've talked about it here, talked about it in the office. They've talked about it on sports talk radio. Nationally, locally, regionally, everybody's got their own opinion on who you'd like to face in the opening round in 2 weeks on the 16th of January. I want to ask you, who would you like to play? Now, you can break this down one of several ways. Who is best for the Patriots to face? Who you think the easiest opponent might be? or who, because of a rivalry, hint, hint, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, you know what I mean? Yeah, what's going to be the most fun?
See, what's weird with me, John, is that I think the most entertaining slash fun matchup is the best matchup for us right now. I know a lot of people that I've talked to want Kansas City.
Of course, because Kansas City is perceived as the weakest
link. Come on. I'm kind of a little bit worried about the familiarity factor with Kansas City and the Patriots.
Right.
A lot of those guys helped design and build
right.
what we are now experiencing here in New England.
True.
So that leads me to believe that they'd probably be able to come up with at least a game plan to make it interesting, to put it politely.
Okay.
I just haven't seen anything from the Jets the last since they played the Patriots, really, and the Patriots absolutely destroyed them. You know, they then go home the next week and lose to a Dolphins team that's just in disarray right now.
Mm-hmm.
That Bears game, they went up, they allowed 38 points to the Bears, lost by 4. You know, this past week they beat up on Buffalo, but, you know, that's Buffalo and with nobody to play or, you know, nothing to play for.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I just really haven't been impressed with them for the last month and a half to 2 months. And I think from what we saw in that Monday night game where the Patriots ended up winning 45-3, I don't necessarily think the Patriots would do that again, but I
don't either, Kev. I really don't. No, as much as I'd like to see them do it.
Because none of us saw it coming.
No.
You know, we thought this is the biggest game of the year. It's going to determine the outcome of the division most likely, and the Jets didn't show up. And that leads me to believe that if there came a playoff scenario that maybe they'd show up a little bit more, but I still think the Patriots would be able to beat them pretty handily.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my opinion.
Well, you know, and I think it's worthwhile. Frankly, from a pure fun standpoint, I'd love to see the Jets come in again because you know that we'd all be taking shots at Rexy and we'd be talking about feet and we'd be talking about
beautiful feet.
Yeah, we'd be talking about all that stuff.
I think everyone can agree though that the Baltimore Ravens have to scare you a little bit.
Well, of
based
course
on
they
what
do.
They've done the past couple
and,
years.
And let me
tell
you, and this is where I've gone back and forth, okay? You know, I think from the pure entertainment point of view, and I think you can actually sell from an entertainment point of view any one of the three teams that could be here. And the three teams that are possible to come here are Kansas City, Baltimore, and New York. Those are the three possibilities for the 16th. And in case you didn't know, yes, we're playing at 4:30 on Sunday the 16th. Those are the three possibilities. Can't play the Colts until the next round because they're the three.
Yep.
So
which I like because I don't love that matchup.
No, I don't love that matchup right off the way. But I'd be okay with any of the matchups because you know what? They've proven themselves. They can beat anybody. But each one of those three teams that can come in here, any one of those three possibilities that could come in here,
yeah,
each one of them presents its own set of problems as well as its own special case to be an entertaining game.
Yeah.
So, you know, if it's the Jets, well, I think it's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
You know, it's a rival. It's a team you split with during the regular season. You got Sexy Rexy involved. You got all the off-the-field stuff that's going on.
They are beautiful.
Excuse
me, ma'am. Can I help you with anything?
It's just too good to be true.
And then on the flip side, with where you were going to go next probably is if Kansas City came in here, it's basically Patriots West.
Yes, it's Patriots West. And yeah. So it sets up an extremely intriguing matchup of Patriots present versus Patriots future, potentially. That's how they build themselves. Plus, you've got the off-field distraction of Charlie Weiss moving on.
Yeah.
Okay, he says, you know, I'm just going to stay with the Chiefs until the Chiefs season's over. Garbage.
Yeah.
Okay? Garbage. That's a distraction. He's going to the University of Florida to work for Will Muschamp, which is great. Kudos to him. He decides maybe now that he's been in the college game, he likes the college game. Frankly, I don't blame him. I like the college game, too.
Charlie just wants a tan.
Charlie wants more control.
Yeah.
And short of getting another head coaching job, Charlie knows that if they have success in Florida, this is probably his best ticket back to the NFL and or a college head coaching job is by going to BCS games at Florida rather than working under Todd Haley at Kansas City, where Todd Haley can still veto play calls.
Exactly, yeah.
He doesn't get that.
No, I agree.
Will Muschamp is turning over the offense to him. He's saying, look, I want to recruit pro-style athletes. I want to sell guys on the fact that we're sending them to the NFL.
Get the f*** off the field!
Yeah, so you know what? This is his deal. It's his baby. It's his offense. He's writing the blueprint now for the University of Florida, which he could not get at Kansas City. And you know what? Wouldn't shock me to see this. He's getting probably more money to coach at Florida than he is at Kansas City. Wouldn't shock me in the least. Florida's big time. Florida's a powerhouse. Kansas City is a small market NFL team. Wouldn't shock me. In fact, I think it'd shock me if he was getting paid more in Kansas City and then he decided to take less money to go to Florida. That would shock me. All right, so you have that. And then obviously Baltimore, you know, the Patriots played a close game during the regular season, but it was early in the year, and I think the Patriots are a vastly different team than when they faced Baltimore before. I'm not sure that I can say the same thing about Baltimore. Are they vastly different? But that would certainly add to the intrigue of that matchup. And then, of course, you got the whole playoff game from a year ago. Ravens came in here and smacked the Patriots right in the mouth. Beat them up good. Physically, mentally, everything. Boom! Punched them. Sucker punch. Right to the solar plexus. Never recovered. From that first play when Ray Rice took it off, you know, to the house. And don't you think for a minute that the Patriots won't still remember that, regardless, or as we like to say in Rhode Island, irregardless,
yeah.
Regardless of what happened in that 23-20 game, you know, early in the season. I still think the playoff game last year will have more meaning than the 23-20 game earlier this year. So you can see how each little game has its own individual setup. And I want you to tell me which one you like, which one you favor, or for that matter, which one you think will actually happen. How do you see the wild card matchups playing out, which will leave whom, it's not grammatically correct, which will leave which team to come to Foxborough on January 16th? Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. The Ace Ticket Hotline, once again, is 508-543-7482. 543-7482. Facebook us. Hit us up on Facebook. Let me know what you think. This is, of course, also Tuesday, which means it's Nitpick Tuesday for our regular audience members. And what we do with Nitpick Tuesday, if you're uninitiated, is we pick nits. We look at things that could and need and should have improvement from the previous week's game. And I realize that it was a zero game. It was 38-7 on Sunday. But are there some nits you can pick? Are there some faults that you can find with the way this team is going at its business right now? If you can find a nitpick, share it. Do share. Webradio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482, and Facebook. All open for discussion. I also have a copious amount of notes here. From Sunday's game. And the reason that I have copious notes from Sunday's game is not only do I always try to balance it out. For every nitpick we give, I try to give a superlative because I try to balance it, you know? The interest of fair and unbalanced. Fair and balanced reporting, as we have been accused of being unbalanced by a lot of people over the years. I try to give you both sides of the story. And then you can make up your own mind. That's what we do here. We don't sit on the fence. We'll make a stand. We'll try to back it up to the best of our ability, and then we move on, and you make up your mind. But I've got notes here because, frankly, there were a lot of, golly, there were just a lot of good things happening.
Did you see who's on the cover
yes,
there?
Yes, I just saw that. That's freaking amazing.
Mass obstruction.
That's just awesome. Now, I just hope it's not the Jinx.
Yeah, thankfully, they're not playing this weekend, so that's good.
Vince Wilfork is on this week's cover of Sports Illustrated, and under the headline, Mass Obstruction, and he is motoring. That's all I can tell you. Dude is a heavy mass, and he is moving. It's a great cover shot.
And it's funny, in parentheses it says, at 375 pounds, yeah, right. Or yeah. 325 pounds, yeah,
right.
Right.
375 is probably more like it.
But yeah, that's what probably popped into my head.
Yeah, but it's a nice cover, so if you haven't seen it, I'm sure you can call it up. It's cool. Somebody just tweeted that. Who tweeted that? Whose tweet did you get that off of?
Sports Illustrated.
Okay, well, see, there you go. You can go find it then if you want to. Nice cover shot of Vince, Big Vince, and deserved. Vince Wilfork had an unbelievable game on Sunday. To me, Vince is the quiet MVP of this team. Tom Brady might be the MVP of the NFL, as we have debated over the last couple of weeks. And I think we're all, and I say by we're all, I'm talking about national media, world media, public sentiment is going Tom's way. Didn't Sports Nation on ESPN do a poll, Kev? And yes. It was like 4-1 over
Vic?
Yeah,
and then I saw like a story today in Sporting News and on Yahoo and also in USA Today, and all their polls are indicating
everybody just
Brady.
Said, okay, they're all bowing to Tom now, right? Okay. Which is not surprising. They're not telling us anything you and I didn't already know. Or any Patriot fan really didn't already know. And I, admittedly, you know, we can look at it a little bit biased around here, but hey, just look at the facts. And I think we can also look at it unbiased, too. I mean, Michael Vick's had a hell of a year. Matt Ryan's had a hell of a year. Aaron Rodgers has had a good year. But not better than Tom Brady. And I don't care how you break it down. Not better than Brady. NBTB. Not better than Brady. So, if Tom Brady's the NFL MVP, frankly, I'm thinking Vince Wilfork is the Patriot MVP because of how he anchored, literally, this Patriots defense and helped the younger guys become the players that they are now. Look at Devin McCourty. Rookie, raw, toasted a couple of times early, ends up with 7 picks, got another one, and if it weren't for some guy named Ndamukong Suh, I think he'd be the defensive rookie of the year in the NFL. I think Sue's going to end up getting it because he's just, well, let's face it, he's a little bit more of a dominating player.
Yeah.
But Devin McCourty, he's not quite a shutdown corner. He's well on his way. I don't think we would put him, I don't think we'd have a problem putting him up against any receiver in the NFL right now. Would we? No, not at all. Not at all. Vince is partially responsible for that. Gerard Mayo is partially responsible for that. But it all starts with Vince. What do you think about that? Got a thought on that? Vince Wilfork as Patriot MVP as opposed to Tom Brady being the NFL MVP? Our friend Derek from the University of Arizona on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Derek, Happy New Year. What's up, kid?
Happy New Year, Rook. How you doing?
Great.
Yeah, New Year was good?
Yeah, not bad. You know, it was very quiet, which I like.
Yeah.
I can't handle too much stress in my life, so, you know, I'm trying to de-stress. That basically is my New Year's resolution. I'm going to have less. I'm going to try my hardest to have less stress in 2011. Now, if you know anything about my life or my lifestyle, you'll understand that that may be impossible to ask, but I'm going to try. It's not going to stop me from trying.
You know, I don't do New Year's resolutions typically because I just don't.
Because you break them.
You set yourself up for failure. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
But, you know, if I do have one, that would definitely be a good one, especially being in college and, you know, all the stuff. I guess that's kind of a oxymoron, being in college. Have a lot of fun, but you know, it is stressful sometimes. But,
are you already back? Are you already back in Tucson?
No, I'm not.
Oh, you're still at home.
I still got a few more days back at home, which is kind of nice. So.
All right, there you go. All right, what do you think, pal?
What was the question you asked about a second ago with McCourty and Sue and Wilfork? And
I was basically asking, you know, I think we're all realizing now that Tom Brady is going to be the NFL MVP, but does anybody have an argument with Vince Wilfork being the Patriot MVP?
No, I mean, the PFW guys have talked about, you know, whether it's McCourty or Mayo or Wilfork, and, you know, all of them have definitely added a huge part to the defense over the course of the year. Mayo has been looked – I think Mayo has really shown flashes of a little more playmaking ability this year. Mm-hmm. McCourty obviously has far surpassed like almost everyone's expectations, especially because, you know, I think when he was drafted and people were kind of confused about the position, I think there were some high expectations on him, and he's definitely done a great job this whole year and really developed well. And, of course, Wilfork showing his versatility. I mean, they say he's 325. He's obviously bigger than that. And you're moving him all around the line, and I swear he stood up in coverage. I'm just waiting for it. But, you know, I mean, really, he's just an amazing player for us.
Wow. I can't argue with any of that. He's just – I think he has stood up larger than life. And, I mean, he's a larger-than-life figure anyway. But I just think he is I can't speak enough to the character of the man, both on and off of the field. Exactly. He, to me, personifies a true professional.
He's also the Ron Burton Award winner.
Ron Burton Award winner within the community, you know, which means, you know, he gives so much of himself. I just think he's a consummate professional. And there are a lot of players. There are a lot of players, not only in our own clubhouse, but a lot of players around the NFL that could do a lot worse than model themselves after what Big Vince does.
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Could not agree more. Looking on to the playoffs, I think that overall the Patriots, obviously, they've beaten every team. I'm pretty sure, except for Kansas City. Correct.
Correct.
So, I mean, Kansas City scares some people. And I think that because they don't turn the ball over and they capitalize on turnovers and things like that, that kind of scares, you know, some people away.
Yeah.
But really, I think coming to Foxborough, I think Kansas City will be a good matchup. And part of me is thinking, well, I think Belichick will have Castle in the fetal position by halftime. And the other half of me is thinking, you know, I'm not really sure I want to go ahead and have that, inside information on Belichick or whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm.
So that does scare me a little bit. Obviously, I'm scared of the Ravens. I know some people aren't. I'm going to feel confident no matter who the Patriots match up with. Not really sure, you know, who I'd really want to face. Honestly, whoever comes up, it's just, you know, just one more game. And I'm really excited about the fact the Patriots have put themselves in a position to where they can win two home games and go to the Super Bowl. And I think they've showed enough over the course of the year and proven me wrong that no matter what the challenge is, they're going to step up. They're going to step up and take care of business.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think you're dead on. I personally don't believe at all that it'll be Kansas City. That's my own personal thought. It could be. I think it's unlikely. I think it's going to be Baltimore. That's just me. Not only do I not think it's Kansas City, I think it's going to be Baltimore, even though I'm personally going to root for the Jets. I don't think the Jets are going to go into the Dome and beat Indy. I just don't.
Well, the problem I have with the Jets is I'm a little worried about the quote-unquote swagger, you know, of them going on the road and winning, you know, winning with their backups in Week 17. All of a sudden, maybe they're feeling pretty good about themselves. You know, they obviously play with the chip on their shoulder. Rex Ryan's got them fired up, and all it would take would be one miscue from the Patriots or one big play from the Jets if they were to play each other. And all of a sudden, the Jets, it's just a completely different game.
Yeah.
And I think the people are throwing the Jets a little bit. I don't think they're giving the Jets enough credit. And it pains me to say it, but, you know, the Jets scare me a little bit. I think a little bit more than people are letting, you know, I think they're not giving them enough credit.
Well, I'm rooting for the Jets to come in because I think from a pure entertainment point of view, I think that's the coolest. I think that's the matchup we would all have the most fun with.
Looking
at it from a strict entertainment point of view. We would have a blast with that next week. You know it. I know it. Everybody knows it. And I think I'd have a blast with it in New York, too. And, you know, Rex Ryan would. Hell, he's already trying to pick a fight with the Colts. You know, Peyton Manning. He's trying to pick a fight with him now. So you know what he's going to do. You know what he's going to do if he beats Peyton. Oh, my God, is he going to get up on that podium? I can't wait until post-game, you know, after the game is over on Saturday. I want to know. I want to hear it. Because, he's going to he's just going to take off the gloves.
Yeah, I could not agree. I could not agree with that more. And I mean, it would be sweet to kick the Jets out of the playoffs.
There's no doubt. I mean, if you're I just think that emotionally, that's the easiest game for all of us to get charged up for, which is why I always root for the story. You know, I always look at it somewhat analytically, and this is why I brought the question up today, Derek, because, you know, I look at it analytically because that's what I do. I mean, we try to look at things analytically and expel it out, and then everybody makes up their own minds on it. But I also know that from an entertainment point of view, if we're all having fun, chances are, hey, I'm going to have more fun. So let's all have fun. And I think from a fun perspective, you know, looking at it from fans, looking at it from media now, maybe not necessarily guys down the hallway, but from a fun perspective, the Jets, that's got to be the matchup. And so that's I'm going to root for the story. But yep. I'm not so sure that that's going to happen.
Well, my one nitpick for the game was that we beat him up too much because I would personally like to see Sperano and Henny stay. It makes it easier path to the AFC Championship next year.
Well, I still think he's, believe it or not, even though I was ready at the end of the game to say he's gone because they got, you know, waxed. I'm not entirely convinced he's going to go. I think you're right. Even though
I'm not either.
7-9 isn't great. I think they're going to give him one more year to see if he can get this team in the playoffs.
I think they should.
And that's and that's just my own personal thought. The more I thought about it, the more I'm thinking. Unless they can go out and get Bill Cowher, why would they make a change? Now, yeah, if Cal
prisoner of the moment,
yeah,
league. I mean, everyone
right.
they don't let things develop.
No,
and, you know, I think they should definitely give him another gear. I think
you're
if
right.
they had a quarterback, they would be, you know, in a much better position.
I think you're right. I think they're going to give it one more year to see what develops, because they feel like, you know, hey, you know, we were what were we? We were 6-2 on the road this year. So there's clearly got to be something going right there, wouldn't you say? At 6-2 on the road? Hey, that's what the Patriots did. The Patriots went 6-2. So you had the best, you had as good a road record as the team with the best record overall in the NFL. Your failings were at home. Yeah.
Well, for whatever reason that would be. But just like you do, just to balance it out, I thought the play calling in Week 17 was excellent. I think O'Brien and Brady and Bill, they did a great job. For whatever reason, I'm not sure. I really liked how it was just they had young players and people who don't get a lot of reps step up, and the offense was rolling. And the offense has scored 518 points this year, and that's seventh all time. And this is supposed to be a rebuilding year.
Yep.
You know, it's just amazing. And you know, caps off to them, and you know, we'll keep rolling towards the playoffs. But
that's it, brother.
John.
Thanks, Derek.
All right, have a good one.
All right, you too, pal. Derek from the University of Arizona. There you go. Gets it started. 508-543-7482 on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at patriots.com. By the way, Eric from Cali says, I've never really cared for Favre, but is this true that he might have hurt his legacy? Reason I ask is because getting your legacy ruined sucks, but ruining your own legacy must really what? What do you call that? Dumb boy reminds me of Tiger. Man, what if Brady went through all of this crap? Let's just thank God he's married to the hottest model in the world, well, at least according to the magazines. 2011 is Super Bowl heaven. We're on our way. Thank you again. Keep up the great drama. And what's the PFW schedule for the playoffs? Well, PFW and Patriots Playbook, and I think Pete's show too, Pete Shepard, I think we're all on the same schedule as long as the Patriots are alive.
Yep.
So it means we continue right through all of Patriots.com radio, not just PFW here, but all of Patriots.com radio stays on the current schedule, regular season schedule, through the postseason until the Patriots lose. Now, I can't speak definitively for Super Bowl week if we're fortunate enough to get that far, because some will travel to Arlington and others will stay behind.
Yeah, I'll be back here hosting my own show.
Or I will be here hosting a show or something like that.
I'll be producing, hosting, producing.
You'll be producing
hosting.
Everything that's in Arlington, where they'll be, you know, set up with their headquarters, or
that's
in
true.
Fort Worth, wherever they may be, because the AFC champion is actually headquartered in Fort Worth, which is in the stadium. Cowboy Stadium is in Arlington. It's not in Dallas. We're not going to Dallas, kids, okay?
That's true.
We're going to Arlington. That's the goal. There is a difference. I'm going to initiate
you
now. Well, better yet, how about that Cowboy Stadium? That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, we'd all like to see the inside of it. That's for sure.
Well, up close and personal.
Yeah.
Personal.
I mean, I was talking about it with my father just to, I mean, I hope, all things aside, take, you know, if the Patriots aren't fortunate enough to go to the Super Bowl this year, I'd like to see it in person soon.
I've just
as a curiosity.
I've seen it from the outside. I have not been in it.
Yeah.
I've been by it from the outside, and it looks like a spaceship.
Yeah. That's why, I mean, you hear everybody talk about it. You see it on TV. Just as a football
looks
fan,
like a spaceship.
I'd really like to see it.
Looks like that stinking thing, you know, big thing you saw in the movie
Independence Day. I was just thinking of that.
That's exactly what it looked like. Oh, my God. It's Independence Day. You know, where are the guys with all the tentacles coming out, you know, flying out in the little ships and stuff? Holy crap. No, it's Arlington. It's just across the street, really, literally, from the ballpark at Arlington where the Rangers play. And Arlington is actually in Tarrant County, in case you give a rat's you know what, Tarrant County, which is home to Fort Worth. Dallas is in Dallas County. That's the next county over. So you haven't even crossed the county line. You're in the same county as Fort Worth. The AFC champ is staying in Fort Worth. The NFC champ, I believe, is staying actually in Dallas. But the media headquarters, media everything, I think, is right there in Arlington near the stadium. So there you go. There's the game plan. Now you have something to look forward to at some point. And you got Six Flags there, and you got water parks there, although I don't know if the water parks are open, but you got so much stuff to do there, it's not even funny. It's just, it's great. It's absolutely great. I'm going to tell the boys where they got to go vittle. That's what
we call it. They can go ride the roller coasters while I'm sitting here in the studio.
That's right. But I got to tell them where they got to go vittle, too.
What is
it's very
vittle?
Important. You got to go eat.
Oh.
I call it vittling.
Oh, all right. That makes sense.
You got to go vittle. Got to get some vittles.
I thought it was a dirty thing. I thought it was a handy artism.
No, that's just a Texan phrase. See, now I'm showing some of my Texan is showing now. Got to tell them where they can go vittlin. Yeah! Thank you, Joe. All right, webradio at patriots.com. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482. Hit us up on Facebook. You're in the playbook.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
I'm pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network. All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst. Randy Cross joins us here inside the playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2 on American Airlines Patriots.com. Radio.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's got to be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian. You can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only, equipment charges, taxes, and fees, and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open!
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Get ready for a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. You could win an all-inclusive weekend trip to Super Bowl 45. You're already halfway there. Just enter for your chance to win right here at patriots.com. Simply click on the Verizon logo to play the Gridiron Challenge. It's that easy. And you could win weekly prizes, including Patriots tickets, autographed merchandise, and more. Start playing today. Brought to you by Verizon. No purchase necessary to enter or win. Must be a legal U.S. resident 18 years or older. Ends December 27th, 2010. Void where prohibited. For official rules, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge.
Now's your chance to hit up John Rook inside the playbook on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-543-7482.
Patriots Playbook for a Tuesday on Patriots.com Radio. I'm John Rook. You got the number. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482. Email address, webradio@patriots.com. Facebook page, submit the friend request to John Rook, R-O-O-K-E. Put Patriots Playbook in there so we know. We'll accept it, and then we'll talk a little that way. Now, couple of quick things just off the top here. Number one, I happen to notice, before we get to some of the messages here, Jerry Richardson, who is the owner of the Carolina Panthers, and he is, you know, amongst those, that handful of influential owners in the league where Mr. Kraft is involved and Jerry Jones is involved and some of the others around the league are involved, came out today and said that his quote is on ESPN.com, "I'm personally not as optimistic as some that we are making much progress," talking about the labor talks between players and owners. Whereas Paul Tagliabue, whew, almost blew that one. Whereas it was basically, it came out earlier this week that there was perhaps some signs. Roger Goodell had said there were some signs maybe there would be some moving, and he's going to do everything within his power to, you know, make this thing happen. Richardson's kind of throwing a wet blanket over all here. He says, basically, we're not optimistic that we're making a lot of progress. The Charlotte Observer is reporting, saying that Richardson drew a pie chart showing the respective revenues of the players and the owners. The approach continued to trend from both sides to prove to the fans that they are in the right. The sooner that both sides understand there's no right to a lockout, both sides are going to lose in a lockout. Once both sides see that, we'll see progress. Kind of like a divorce. Once both parties see that nobody's going to win, the fighting's usually over. It's like, all right, what do we have to do to make this happen? Nobody wins. If we have a lockout, football is divorcing the fans. That's basically what it boils down to. If you want to, you know, go with an analogy here, that's what's happening. Nobody wins. You're not going to get what you want. Nobody gets all of everything what they want. It doesn't happen. It's part of compromise. Everybody compromises. I compromise every day of my life. I'll bet you do too. And there are some days when I'm sure you feel like, you know what? I want to be greedy today. I deserve this. I got it coming. I want mine. You know what? We all go through days where we all feel like that. Rarely does it ever happen for you. If it does, I would tell you that you're spoiled. I would tell you that it won't happen often, and if it happens again, then you're setting yourself up for trouble. You got to learn to compromise in everything you do in life. You have to look at the bigger picture. The bigger picture for the National Football League is those who pay your paycheck, which would be us, the fans, the corporate entities, those who shell out the dough for the tickets, those who buy the gear, those who have been long-time 20, 30, 40-year or more supporters of a franchise. Those are the people that you need to put first and foremost. It's like, again, if you're going through a divorce, who should be first in your proceedings? Your children. Fans are the children of the National Football League. You got to keep the children happy.
Yep.
You got to keep the kids from having to go through too much damage.
Got a few breaking news tidbits here on the coaching carousel.
Fire away. Go, brother.
Speaking of fired,
yep.
Rich Rodriguez was just fired by the Michigan Wolverines.
Oh, there's a shock.
And it looks like Adam Schefter from ESPN is tweeting, after earlier in the day, Marvin Lewis basically kind of gave off the vibe that he was to stay in Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
Talks have broken down later this afternoon in terms of his future and his contract negotiations. And Schefter is tweeting, "Lewis left the Bengals complex when the two sides could not agree on a franchise direction, and his future there is in serious jeopardy."
I kind of figured that anyway, to be honest.
Most of us figured he would leave because he can get out right now.
Right.
And we were all kind of surprised to hear that he might be staying. So.
Well, you know what? It's kind of like, well, what are you going to give me to stay? I mean, you'd be stupid if you didn't at least ask the question, right? How are you going to make it worth my while? So I'm sure he asked the question. And they're like, well, we don't like the way the organization is heading. You know, we took a big step backward again this year.
So those are the two coaching notes.
All right, so Rich Rod is out at Michigan. Big whoop. I'd be stunned if Jim Harbaugh wasn't the next coach. I really would be. I know that Mike Tirico mentioned this last night on the air watching the Orange Bowl because, obviously, you know, Stanford just trashed Virginia Tech. And I had actually called a couple of Virginia Tech games on national radio this year and was a little surprised. You know, Stanford's good. There's no question. Stanford's a good football team. I guess I didn't really realize how good they are until I watched them last night. But they were talking about how they expect Jim to join his brother John in the ranks of the NFL. And it's not so much joining him with Baltimore as it would be maybe, you know, taking a shot at the San Francisco job, which I guess I could see. I guess I could see that. I also believe now that Rich Rod is gone that Michigan is going to put the full court press on Jim Harbaugh, the favorite son, former Michigan quarterback. I wonder how Tom Brady feels about Michigan. You know, we should ask him. Somebody in the locker room has got to ask him this week. How do you feel about Michigan?
You got to think that that job for Harbaugh would be pretty appetizing considering his background. I mean, and I got to think that Michigan's going to throw a lot of money his way.
I would think so. Here's how I feel about Michigan, Kev. Best fight song ever.
Yeah, it's got a good fight song.
No, best. And that comes from a guy who's a Texas fan, all right?
Yeah.
But it's better
than ours.
You've
seen the one with Herb?
Better than ours.
Herb's, have you seen the commercial with Herb Street, Mac Brown? I'm sure you've seen it a million times.
It's hilarious.
He's like, you don't freestyle Texas Five, big boy.
That's right. That's exactly right. He's right. Dun, 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 dun,
but I mean, talk about one of the talk about one of the all-time like backfires in coaching history. Michigan goes through all this trouble to get Rich Rod away from West Virginia and brings him in, and he doesn't even last what? Like, well, he lasts like 3 years, maybe.
Yeah, and 3 years.
They didn't win a bowl game. No. They were really bad.
He basically, you know, set that program back on its ear.
Gave up 37 points.
And
to
I'm
UMass.
Sure the entire state of West Virginia is rejoicing today because he jilted them. I mean, he's a favorite. He was a favorite son of West Virginia. He could have had anything he wanted had he decided to stay at West Virginia as head coach of the Mountaineers. He was God. He was as close to God as you can get in West Virginia. And he jilted him to go to Michigan for a chance to operate in the quote-unquote big time. And look where that got you. See, all I'm saying is sometimes you strive for more, but you don't know what you had until you leave it. Kind of like divorce. Oh, please, players and owners. I'm just begging you here. I really don't like to hear what Jerry Richardson had to say today. Says he's not optimistic. My guess is he's simply trying to take some of the edge off of the optimism to set us all up. So that way somebody can say, I told you so. That's all. They're just playing CYA. That's owners playing CYA. Cover your ass. That's all they're doing. Mr. Kraft has always been somewhat optimistic about it. I choose to remain optimistic about it as well. That's my choice. I can't say it's going to happen, but that's my choice. All right, our questions of the day again, kids, in case you're just tuning into the program here in Patriots Playbook. There are a couple on the table. Number one, who do you want to face in the playoffs? Is it for entertainment purposes only? Is it because you think it's the best matchup? Or are you going to look at it somewhat realistically and be analytic about it and say, this is who I think is going to end up in Foxborough on January the 16th? Who do you think the Patriots are going to play? Who do you want them to play in the playoffs? That's question number one. And tell me why you feel that way. Number two, the other question I really have here is, I think we all realize that Tom Brady is undoubtedly going to be the NFL MVP. But do you consider Vince Wilfork the Patriots' MVP? I mentioned it earlier. He has been the glue that's kept the young unit together and caused a young unit to grow and to improve. And are they what you would call a championship-caliber defense now? No, there's still plenty of room to go. But I got to tell you, they have improved leaps and bounds this season. And I think Vince is the linchpin of that. I think we saw that in I think we saw a lot of that in his performance on Sunday. I mean, honestly, his performance on Sunday was Pro Bowl caliber, which it should be, Pro Bowl caliber. Guy's a Pro Bowl player. Guy's an All-Pro player. He's anything and everything to that defense. It all revolves around Vince. He had his first NFL two-sack game on Sunday. He had Chad Henne for losses of 9 and 6 yards on the same possession in the third quarter. And that was his first career two-sack game. You realize, of course, that it's not his job to sack the quarterback. It's his job to gap. It's his job to take up space. It's his job to allow the linebackers like Gerard Mayo and Gary Guyton in this instance to fill those gaps and make the tackles. And yet he had not gone a season in his young career, still relatively young career, he had not ever gone sackless an entire year. and he hadn't had a sack yet this season until coming up with two on Sunday. He was bound and determined to get a sack, and he said so afterward in his postgame press conference here at the stadium. And not only did he get one, he got two. So good for Vince. Man, I got to tell you, I don't want to be in the dude's way. I just don't. Just ever, at any point in time. A couple of other things. So there you go. I want you to tell me your thoughts. Do you have any problem with Vince being the Patriot MVP? I realize Tom makes the engine roll, but if this defense doesn't improve the way it does, I don't think the Patriots are 14-2. And I think Vince is the linchpin to that happening. So there's a couple of things for you to chew on today. Nitpick Tuesday as well. What did you see in the game? In our regular Tuesday standard fare here. What did you see in the game that could use a little improving? A couple of nitpicks, for instance. Alejandro sends me this. He says, John, first and foremost, Happy New Year to you and your family. Let's hope we can celebrate in February and that your Longhorns don't break your heart. They've already broken my heart, Alejandro. I don't know what to tell you about that one. He says, I've been very busy, but I've remained loyal to Rook Nation. Whoa! How about that? I have a nation. Kevin, I didn't know that. I want to thank you for your show. It was great to listen during the long hours of study at grad school. You've been one hell of a classmate. You are the man, Alejandro. That makes my day. Thank you. My nitpick is the false start that killed the drive that prevented the Pats from running out the clock. It would have been nice to shut out the Dolphins. That's a great nitpick. That's a great nitpick. Now, that is the quintessential nitpick. It has nothing to do with the game, but I didn't like it anyway, so I'm putting it down. I think that's perfect. He says, my question to you is as follows. If the Patriots don't win the Super Bowl, would you be satisfied with this season? I'm thinking about an elimination in blowout fashion like the Ravens gave us last year. Keep it up, John. Thank you, Alejandro. You know what? That's another very good question, Alejandro. And actually, you know, that's a question that was on my list of questions potentially for this show for this week because we don't have a game to prepare for. So you'll pardon me then if I kind of gloss over that, but I think that's going to be a question for tomorrow. If we don't win the Super Bowl, are you still happy with the year? I think that's a great question. So you'll forgive me if I hold on to that until tomorrow, but duly noted, you're the one that brought it up first, so I'm going to give Alejandro all the credit in the world on that one. I think that's only fair, don't you think, Kevin? Yeah, I think that's only fair. All right, a couple of Facebook entries here. Mary Beth, I knew she was going to do this too. Hey, I was just thinking, didn't you pick the Dolphins? Yes. Yes, I did. The Dolphins were my pick to win the division. But I had the Patriots potentially fighting for the wild card. I did. I said probably 9-7, 10-6 if the ball bounced their way, and obviously it clearly bounced their way more than once or twice this year as I picked the Dolphins. However, I will tell you that my NFC pick was Green Bay, and they're still very much in the running. In fact, I would not be shocked to see a New England-Green Bay Super Bowl. Wouldn't be shocked at all. Would you? No, not me. I think Green Bay, if they can overcome their, you know, their depth issues, I think they could be playing as well as anybody right now in the NFC. That includes Atlanta. But I think that's entirely possible. Jay sends me this on Facebook as well. Let me see if I can get this up and running here. Jay says who he feels the Patriots will play. Jets or the Ravens? Both for the same reason, to shut them up. The Jets remind themselves all the time about being 15 minutes from the Super Bowl. That distorted fact sustains them and, in their opinion, justifies their empty bravado. Talking about last year, of course. It would be nice to knock them out in the division round this year. That way, they would be left with just their inflated 11 wins. The Ravens would be much less of a challenge than the quote-unquote experts are making them out to be. You know, Belichick has devoted himself to game-planning the Ravens, and the players will have no lack of motivation when it comes to playing Baltimore. It will also be satisfying seeing Suggs implode as we go up 3 touchdowns. That's also a good thought. You know, I think that would be good theater. Patriots score to go up, say, 31-6 on Baltimore, and Terrell Suggs walking off the field after Brady throws his third touchdown pass. We're going to give Benny a touchdown run here. Third touchdown pass, go up 31-6. Suggs takes off his helmet, walks off the field, and all of a sudden, boom, his head explodes. We'd all stand and give him a standing ovation, wouldn't we? I think we would. We'd all give the guy a standing O. Because he is a member of the Turds Day list here on Patriots Playbook, as we so anointed him a couple of weeks ago. all right, good one. Excellent, excellent. Like that. Let me see what else I got here. Facebook. Paul. Hey, John. Yes, Paul. After listening to Thursday's show, I'm sure you'll disagree with this week's nitpick, but never mind. Here it is anyway. I think the starters, or specifically Brady, played too much on Sunday. He was still in the game after halftime with the game seemingly safe. I know there's Brady's streak and a multitude of other stats that you Americans, obviously he's coming from our UK Pats club here, thereabouts, I believe so. Paul, yeah, you're in UK, right? I know that there's a Brady's streak and a multitude of other stats you Americans find so endearing, but personally I would have liked the backups to have been in by then. If they're not good enough to play, then they shouldn't be on the roster. After all, they're always potentially one play or a cheap shot away from being out there anyway, so some extra game time and extra protection for Brady and other key guys would have made more sense to me in what was a meaningless game. Paul, I'm going to be totally and completely honest with you. I have no reason not to be. You stole my nitpick. That was mine. I really didn't have a nitpick, other than the fact my nitpick was I thought they left the starters in there too long. Now, again, that's a weak nitpick. I'll give you that. But, I mean, when the second quarter came around and Hoyer went in and everybody finally said, oh, okay, Brady's safe. And then he was in there for one play and Brady comes back in. The screaming could be heard for row upon row upon row in front of me because my booth is open here at the stadium. People are going, what's going on? Why is Brady back in there? Oh, my God, they're asking for it. We're doomed. You should see, and the people... We can see the other booths, right? I was next door on Sunday to had the Spanish broadcasters from Miami to my left, and I have the stat booth to my right.
So you're hearing all the screaming in Spanish.
Well, I had a little screaming, but not a lot. A lot of it is probably cursing, and I don't really want to do that. So, just because they're upset with their Dolphins. I don't think they do that on the radio. I'm just kidding. But I look to my right where the stat guys, where the stat crew are located, and they're all like, eyes are like, holy crap, That you have that kind of holy crap. And, of course, the clock operators who were next to me in the same booth.
Yeah, first thing, right next to you.
Right next to me. First thing out of, and I'm not going to name names here, but the first thing I heard, what the hell are they doing? That's the first thing I heard. My spotter, John Zanini, who spots for me at all the games, he's the one that calls all the tackles and such. I usually spot offense, he spots defense. And so I had to be looking down at my monitor and my script and getting ready to snap the football. And he's like, oh, Brady's back in. And I'm looking up, I'm like going, whoa. And then I hear what the hell are they doing? And I look to my right, and I'm looking at all these wide-eyed, bug-eyed guys in the stat booth who are supposed to be impartial. And so that's the immediate reaction I got. And so I said, good, I got a nitpick now. I said, that's it. Why'd they do that? And they did it because, well, for two things. Number one, I believe Hoyer hit his hand on that play because it was a pass play. And I believe he hurt his hand, and so he had to come out briefly, make sure he was okay.
Yeah.
And I think number two, I think there was a little sideline instruction. This is what we want to do. This is what we.
There was also, from what I heard too, they were trying to simulate like sudden change situations where you don't know where you're going to be in.
Tom mentioned it before the game. That was preordained. It was worked on. It was planned. He's going to come in early, and then he's going to come right out again. So they could sort of mimic something that might happen in the playoffs. Playoffs? Yeah, that's exactly right. They were going to mimic it. They're basically going to say, okay, we're going to work on, all right, I'm coming out. At this stage of the game, you're going to have to come in and run a pass play, run a play. And then you're going to come out again. So, and then, of course, obviously, if things continue to go as we hope they go, you'll come in and play quite a bit, which is what he did. And he threw his first career touchdown pass, which was great. So it all worked out for the better. But he did, I believe, hurt his hand because I had looked through the binoculars after the play was over when he went out, and he was holding his right hand.
Yeah.
So he hurt it. He hit it against something, somebody. I didn't see the replay, so I don't know. But he was making sure he was okay. And then you saw him start warming up again on the sideline, in the second half or at halftime, and then you knew he was coming back in. So it's not really a nitpick, but it's a nitpick.
Sure.
Okay. So anyway, Paul, that's my deal. That was my deal. He says, by the way, the good news is that we can't play Pittsburgh or Indy until the championship game. Assuming Indy wins this weekend, they and the Steelers can beat each other up, which will hopefully help us, assuming we win our game. The team I don't want is Kansas City. They're stuffed with expatriates, so they know more about our systems than anyone else. And Castle, after his long spell as a backup, is probably the best game-managing quarterback in the AFC playoffs, other than Brady. So the insider knowledge and the potential for a lot of clock-killing drives is potentially a worrying combination. That said, we need to be wary of everyone, but fear nobody. Paul, that's an interesting take, and I thank you for taking the time to post that. That's good stuff. That's very good stuff. All right, so there's a nitpick. I gave you one now. In the interest of fair play, let me give you one of the many superlatives that I have here. I'm not sure that I've got one here that you might not have already heard, so I'm going to give you a bunch of them here and kind of pick and choose because I've got a jillion things written down here. Literally a jillion. That's J-I-L-L-I-O-N, jillion. Wow, Taylor Price made his debut. That's the first game of the year he was active for. Caught his first NFL pass on a 17-yard reception from Hoyer in the third quarter. Thomas Clayton made his debut. First game action. And he was a member of the Cleveland Browns earlier this year. So he's played for two different teams. Kyle Love made his first NFL start.
Yep.
And the guys were loving it. You know, when he was on the move, they were you could see that they
yeah,
love
covering kickoffs.
I know, covering kickoffs. They love Kyle Love. They really do. They really appreciate him, and they think he can be a player. He is a player's favorite. Jerod Mayo. Not there in the regular season, but when you throw the playoffs into it, he's certainly right on pace for 200 tackles in a single year. Had 139 as a rookie and 114 last year. 191 this year in the regular season. He's the first Patriots player to have three consecutive 100-tackle seasons since Lawyer Malloy had five straight from 97 through 01. 191 tackles, the third best in team single-season history. Clayton Weishan, I think it's Weishan, back in 1983, linebacker, had 229. That is the single-season franchise record. So if the Patriots can manage to get through the playoffs a little bit, I'd say, yeah, he's got a chance. He's got a chance. If he continues with his double-digit performance in tackles, he could certainly challenge that record by the time the Super Bowl is done with. With three more potential games on the schedule, right?
God willing.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, I got to give you one more. This is going to be a 4-for-1 effort here, all right? Shane Graham, 12-for-12 on field goals.
Yep.
That's pretty good. I know he missed an extra point.
Two.
Missed two extra points, yes.
Which makes the 12-for-12 or whatever it is
more
baffling.
Yeah, more remarkable. But 12-for-12 and kicking the threes. You know, I think we all wish we had Steven Gostkowski, and that's taken nothing away from Shane Graham. But I'm glad we have him because I think he's filled the role quite nicely.
Yeah. The coverage has been getting a little bit better the last couple
weeks. Coverage has been getting better, and his kicks have been
a little higher.
The kicks are getting a little higher, and he's getting a little more distance. Most of the returns now are from the 5-yard line in. You know, he had a couple of kicks, I think, on Sunday that were goal line kicks, which is good for him.
He had a really nice kick, too, off. Yep. The Patriots scored.
Yeah.
There was a personal foul roughing the passer. It was on Hoyer's play there Tate.
Right.
And then so the Patriots got to kick off from their own 45, and he hit a beautiful pooch kick, like coffin cornered,
right.
And where the Patriots coverage team was able to pin the Dolphins inside the 20.
Correct.
And he got a lot of high fives for that as he came over the sideline.
As well he should. He should get a lot of high fives for that. So I'm okay with Shane as a replacement. I mean, let's take into consideration, kids, you know, some of the obstacles this team has overcome. And without Gostkowski, and Fred Taylor's been hurt all year. By the way, did his legs look fresh in that fourth quarter?
Yeah, he was running through some people, which was good. And
that
kind of knocked some of the rust off him, hopefully.
Absolutely. Man, he could be useful in the playoffs. No question.
Got a little story here for you, John.
Shoot.
You might get a chuckle out of. So, you know, most NFL teams that didn't qualify for the playoffs are coming in, and you get all your stuff, and you clean your locker out and all that type of deal.
Mm-hmm.
So Brandon Jacobs, who's had a pretty turbulent year with the Giants, comes in to get his stuff today. I'm reading this story off NFL.com. It says, Jacobs' season ended in a fitting way when, as he was leaving the locker room, he offered a friendly goodbye to the reporters and photographers around his locker. Click, 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 he shouted at the crowd. You're all taking pictures of Brandon Jacobs leaving, wondering if he's ever going to return. That will be your caption for tomorrow. Well, bleep you all, and then stormed off.
Nice.
Attaboy. I thought that was pretty funny.
Attaboy, Brandon. He's a classy individual, isn't he?
Thought that was pretty funny.
Although I think we'd take him.
He's a bruiser.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
he's
yeah.
a Patriot type running back. Well, good and bad
he's
weather.
He's the Corey Dillon mold.
Exactly.
That's the kind of featured back Corey that Dillon this team prefers to have. Even, with all due respect to Ben Jarvis.
And even bigger than
and
Corey
what he's
Dillon
done,
too.
But he's bigger. I mean, he's an offensive lineman.
But he runs the same way as Corey and Antoine Smith.
Yes. And that, I think, is the optimum back for what the Patriots do on offense. It doesn't mean that Ben Jarvis isn't going to get the chance to do it. I mean, the guy did rush for 1,000 yards. Huge, unbelievable, unbelievable story.
And there was another one that just came out that said the Panthers are set to pick Andrew Luck if he is coming out.
I don't know that
is reporting.
I don't know that he is.
Me neither.
But I don't know that he is.
You think it has a lot to do with Harbaugh?
I think it has something to do with Harbaugh.
Yeah.
I think he'll wait and see
because,
what Harbaugh's going to do.
Because if he leaves and you're in like a rebuilding situation, why would he want to stick around and
That's
kill his stock?
Absolutely correct.
And as much as I'm all for it, like I'll be the first one to tell you, I'm all for college athletes completing their 4 years and getting their degree.
Sure.
But when you're talking about the amount of money that's on the line that some of these kids could potentially lose,
mm-hmm.
I see why they leave early now.
Absolutely. So let's, you know, I don't think that we'll know that we won't know that definitively until the Harbaugh to Michigan story happens or doesn't, or the Harbaugh to San Francisco story happens or doesn't. Guess that kind of tells Jimmy Clausen where he stands with the Panthers, huh?
Yeah, I would say so. He didn't really open any eyes. I know I watched a few of their games because they played, you know, the Steelers down the stretch. They played a few teams that were still in it down the stretch, and they just didn't give anybody a game.
Mary Beth sends this note. She goes, okay, John, here's one for you. I'm sitting in a bar restaurant. There are several Pats fans watching the game. It wasn't on here in Syracuse. Edelman runs one back, and I'm the only one jumping and yelling, huh? Well, that's because you're in New York, Mary Beth. I mean, come on. I'm sure you have Jets and or Giants fans there. I'm probably more Jets and Giants fans than Bills fans, I would wager. In Syracuse, yeah, I would wager that. Doesn't surprise me in the least. In the least. Okay, let's see what else we got here. Michael says, John, I would take the Jets on the 16th. They have so many distractions on their team to have enough focus on the game. They would be an entertaining team with all of their trash talk. They don't have much success in Gillette. The Patriots would also have plenty of film on the Jets and would make a superb game plan. Yeah, I could see that. Frankly, Michael, that's, you know, I said earlier, and I'll say it again here, the Jets I'm rooting for. I want the Jets to come here and play the Patriots because I think it'd be great theater. I root for the story. I don't necessarily root for the best matchup. As someone who's in the media, I root for the story. I root for the subject matter. I root for what's going to give us the most enjoyment over the week in trying to cover the game and talk about the game. And I think the Jets being in position to come back to Foxborough, the scene of their 45-3 tail whooping, I think that'd be great theater around here. Plus, you know what? It also puts the pressure back on the Patriots to live up to what they just did. Yeah, the Jets are going to be hopping mad, and I think the Jets will, you know, their attention will be solely focused on the Patriots. But the Patriots know that, okay, we asked for it, and we got it. We got to go out there and do it again. So you talk about focusing. I realize it's the playoffs, and you shouldn't have any problem at all focusing. But let me tell you something. The Patriots will definitely, there's some bad blood there. They will definitely be focused on the Jets because they know the Jets will be focused on them. I think if you're worried about any kind of an edge being there. All right. I don't think you have to worry about that. My thoughts, anyway. 508-543-7482. Web radio at patriots.com. Facebook us. Let's get a break in here. We got a lot of emails to get to. Also, coming up a little bit, we're going to hear from head coach Bill Belichick in his conference call. That's all inside the playbook.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
We're pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2 on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Oh, okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's got to be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian. You can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only, equipment charges, taxes, and fees, and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Get ready for a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. You could win an all-inclusive weekend trip to Super Bowl 45. You're already halfway there. Just enter for your chance to win right here at patriots.com. Simply click on the Verizon logo to play the Gridiron Challenge. It's that easy. And you could win weekly prizes, including Patriots tickets, autographed merchandise, and more. Start playing today. Brought to you by Verizon. No purchase necessary to enter or win. Must be a legal U.S. resident 18 years or older. Ends December 27th, 2010. Void where prohibited. For official rules, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. Now's your chance to hit up John Rook inside the playbook on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-543-7482.
Playbook here on Patriots.com radio for a Tuesday. I'm John Rook. Very excited about the possibility for this program coming up this week. Surprise in store potentially for Thursday's playbook. You're just going to have to tune in to listen, but it could be good, really good. You want to be here anyway, right? Because, you know, you like the show. You like the Patriots. You might even like me just a little bit. And if that's all I ask, just a little bit. That'd be cool. I'd be all right with that. Tracy in Virginia says, John, in the beginning of the season, you made a statement that said if the New England Patriots went undefeated at home, you would do something, which I can't remember what it was. Do you now plan on doing it? Do either one of you guys remember what I said at the beginning of the year? See, they're not listening because they don't have headphones on. Can you hear? An emailer just said, at the beginning of the season, I made a statement that if the Patriots went undefeated at home, I would do something. Do you remember what it was? Because I don't. Did I, like, say I was going to, like, run naked on Gillette Stadium or something?
You may have. We'll have to dig through the archives and see what we could find.
Okay. Did I do something like that? I mean, you know, maybe.
We're going streaking through the quad and into the gymnasium. Come on, everybody!
Yeah, I don't know. Tracy, I'm going to have to get back to you. Do you remember what I did, Tracy, what I said? Because I don't, honestly. I really don't. I'm not trying to ditch it here. I just don't remember. All right. For what it's worth. Hey, I'm not ducking anything here. Matt in New York says he's a first-time emailer.
Okay.
Hey, John and everyone down at the studio. This is my first email, and it's an honor to be writing such a prestigious show. Okay, cut the crap. This show is a breath of fresh air for people wanting to get away from the bickering over on PFW in Progress. Well, thank you, John. I appreciate that, Matt. That's great. I'm glad you're here with us. Have you heard the new story about Suggs? He hit a player in the face in full view of the fans and referees and wasn't flagged. His reasoning? Player said he was a supporter of Tom Brady. Really? Is it me, or is Suggs' obsession with Brady becoming more than bizarre and creepy? Anyway, thanks for reading. I'll continue to listen. See you tomorrow. Matt from New York. Yes, it's difficult. Thanks, Matt. I hadn't seen that story. Anybody else seen that story? I hadn't seen that story about Suggs. I hadn't seen it. If you're with us, you know, send me the link to the story. I'd like to see it. I mean, I try to jet around a little bit, but I hadn't seen that. Really? Said he was a supporter of Brady and whacked him in the face? I mean, I think it's really a man love issue, to be quite honest with you. I think Suggs is jealous of Giselle. That's kind of what I think. So I think there's a little man love thing going on there. There's no question there'd be great theater during the course of the week. I talked about rooting for the Jets earlier because of the theater involved around here next week. But I think we can create some pretty good theater for Suggs' appearance in Foxborough again. And I'm sure that Suggs would be the media interview of choice next week by conference call amongst members of the Patriots media, because you know that they'll bombard him about Brady. So I think the media is going to have their hands and ears and notepads full of things to write about, whether it's Baltimore or New York or Kansas City, just because of the Kansas City connections to New England. We're going to have plenty of stories to write about. We're going to have plenty to talk about next week, regardless of who it is. I don't know. I kind of like using the Rhode Island term, irregardless of who it is. Brian, the players would never say it outside the locker room, but the turning point was when Randy left. I think that's a great point, Brian. He was the elephant in the room. The offense they're currently running was ready to go, but it was prevented from playing out because of the need to get Randy the ball. He was never going to be happy as a role player, and the team knew he could be poisoned in the locker room, and when he left, the team changed. The Cleveland game was an important checkpoint in that it showed a young team that they were not infallible. They did need to work hard every week to get the job done, and looking ahead was something they could not do. I don't think it turned the team. It provided a lesson and motivation. In my best Jim Rome, ding, 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 rack him! Attaboy, Brian. Nail on the head. The seminal moment of this season, the turning point, the fulcrum, whatever you want to call it, was when Randy Moss left.
That's very annoying.
Thank you. But he's right. Brian's right. Turning point was when Moss left. I agree with that wholeheartedly. Wasn't so much a play in the game as it was when Randy Moss left prior. That really began to turn things.
Sorry I left you.
No, no.
But I was booking guests.
Great.
Very important business.
That's good stuff. It's all good. All right. So that's a good point, Brian. Excellent job.
Everybody wants to come inside the playbook these days.
Sweet. I like it. Works for me. And everybody's got time inside the playbook if they want it. We got time here. Because we don't have a game this week, so we got time. Terry in New Haven. John, just glancing at the schedule, the key moments to me seem to be in chronological order. Coming out on fire in the second half down in Miami after a tied first half and dominating. The D stepping up at the end of the Baltimore game, coming back from 10 down to win. Tom Brady getting fired up and screaming at the offensive unit on the sideline after a few field goal drives in Pittsburgh. After that,
everyone
they started
sucks
scoring
but
touchdowns.
Me.
Yeah, that's right. He did kind of say that.
I think he's full of
After that, they started scoring touchdowns and never really stopped. Pick of Peyton on the final drive to preserve the win. That's a good one. Primetime beatdown of the Jets, followed by the beatdown of Chicago in the snow. I should get back to work, but those moments, especially number three, jump out at me the most. It's been a great year. I really love this 2010 squad, especially with the problems of the 09 team. Go Pats. Okay, Terry, well thought of. Don't get in trouble at work. Well, that's a good email. All right, I'm fired up. Now we got some good offerings here. This is all good. You guys are bringing it today. I'm reading through some of these. You're bringing it. Ty from Arlington. We're coming to you, Ty. How close do you live to Cowboy Stadium, by the way? Let me know. I agree with you on the switching point of the Pats was from Cleveland's game. Moreover, I think the more of a switching point was from that last play with the Green Bay Packers because we were so close to losing that game. That's why Belichick went to the locker room saying that we can lose to any team if we play like this. I think the Green Bay game was a second wake-up call to the Pats on their overconfidence of a winning streak. Talking about playoffs, I would like the Pats to face the Jets because it will be a good rivalry. That's going to be another version of the Yankees and the Red Sox. Sorry to bring baseball into the discussion. Finally, I wish you all and all Pats fans out there to enjoy the playoffs. Thank you, Ty. He's going to everybody party at Ty's house for the Super Bowl, right? You're just down the street from the stadium. Party with Ty. Why all of a sudden do I have... laughing at my own thoughts here. Why all of a sudden do I have Caddyshack in my head? Hey, I'm going to party with you, Ty. Didn't he say that in the, wasn't that a line in the movie?
I'm pretty sure he did.
Love it. Oh, I amuse myself. Hey, if you can have fun by yourself, don't go there. Giovanni says, have you noticed how Suggs is now kissing butt by saying he voted for Brady for MVP? Trying to calm the Giant in case they face us. That's a good point. I did see that. He made a point of saying last week after the Pro Bowl team was announced that the backers as a group in Baltimore vote together, and they as a group all voted for Tom Brady.
Well, we're waiting.
Yes, we are.
That's all I could find quickly.
I like it. No, that's good. That's good. I like it. All right, Robert, via Facebook. Big thing for me was, or defining moment, the Pittsburgh game. Tom was fired up after losing to Cleveland. And you see him get into the faces of everyone about raising the level of play, stoking the fire in their bellies. You know, I know, we all know. Bill was in Tom's face as well as Vince and the rest of the vets the very week, reminding them of the way they approached and played against Cleveland. The whole team redefined the whole season from that week on. Tom put his foot on the throat of the Steelers and put them out of their misery on that night. And it shows how great a coach and motivator Bill Belichick is. He thinks, and Robert says, coach of the year. Michael says, John, I agree that Vince Wilfork is the team MVP. He leads that defensive front line no matter where he is put and or nose tackle. Glad you brought that out, Michael. He almost always requires a double team, and he enables the linebackers to make plays. Vince is also a leader of the whole team. And I will add, leader of the whole team on and off of the field. Got to go with you on that one, bro. Got to go with you on that one. Oh, Giovanni sent me the link for Suggs hitting a player. Okay, from the Baltimore Sun. No kidding. Thanks, Giovanni. Appreciate that. All right, good. Excellent. I had not known that. Now I do. All right, here we go. Back to the matters at hand. Amy sends this. I think the biggest wake-up moment was when Gronk botched his fair catch in the Cleveland game. That's a good one. Pats just had that utter look of disbelief on their faces when that happened, as did I. Come on, man! Isn't that a new thing that they do on ESPN now? Come on, man! Come on, man, if you call for the fair catch, you gotta get it! I think this was a big moment that proved lack of communication causes game-losing mistakes. I haven't seen many mistakes since that moment. Happy New Year. Amy, good call. Good call. Bad Kevin. Hello, Bad Kevin. Hey, John and Kevin. Does that make you good, Kevin? Okay. Bad Kevin. We have Bad Kevin and Brooklyn Matt. Are they one and the same?
No, Kevin can be there, obviously, to offer insight.
Yeah, I know. I wonder, you think they're one and the same? Bad Kevin
be.
And Brad, Bad
that
Kevin
could be
and Brooklyn
a conspiracy
Matt.
Theory.
I love a good conspiracy theory, and I think that they might be.
You might be onto something.
They might be.
We'll smoke them out.
We're going to. Before this year is done, before the playbook wraps up for 2010-11. Isn't it great to be a fan of this great organization? Seriously, from Mr. Kraft down to the lowest guy on the practice squad, I have loved going to work every Monday and rubbing it in the faces of all those that are not the fans of the Patriots. Oh, you must be a beaut, Bad Kevin, to work with, huh? Great. Make everybody smell good, why don't you? Guess that's why they call you Bad Kevin. I've loved going to work. Okay, I'm repeating myself here. Being in Illinois. No, he says he's in Illinois. It could still be. They're just words. He says, being in Illinois, it's mostly Bears fans. Looking at the schedule at the beginning of the year, I had us anywhere from 8-8 to 10-6. That's right where I was. The 8-8 has our losses to the Jets once, Dolphins once, Ravens, Chargers, Steelers, Colts, Packers, Vikings. I'm shocked that we went through all of that only losing one of them. Those are pretty good teams. So throughout the year, the grin just got wider and wider. Yes, I agree with you, John, that the Cleveland game was the catalyst for this defense, but the one moment of the year that defined and made this team was the trade of Randy Moss. Now, I admit I was not pleased with the decision, but I did not rant and rave about it. I think this year more than any other solidifies in Bill we trust. I'm really not afraid of any team that we may face. I'm just ready to play. I hate the anticipation. But if I had to choose who I want to play in order to get to the AFC Championship game, I want to play the Jets, but I don't think they'll beat the Colts. I have the Colts beating the Jets, Chiefs beating the Ravens. Ooh, really?
Those Coats are, they're pesty.
Yes, the Coats. The Ben Coatses. We play Kansas City. Pittsburgh will play Indy. We beat the Chiefs. Colts beat the Steelers. Colts, Pats, AFC Championship game. We can avenge the 06 AFC Championship loss. Thank you, Bad Kevin. Good predictions.
I just found, as a complete aside and out of left field, since we're done with that current email, you as a play-by-play man will appreciate this. You might have heard this, but I just stumbled upon this little piece of play-by-play mastery right here. Listen to this.
Brady pitching a 10 back there.
That is priceless.
Who'd that come from?
Tom Brenneman, I know the voice, who is play-by-play guy for Fox. Yeah. And it must have been Brady, you know, drops back and just has all day. And instead of saying, you know, could read the paper, he's apparently pitching tense back there in the pocket.
See, only you, though, would put that.
might not make his lineman very comfortable knowing he's pitching a tent back there.
Well, I
never knew he had that. I was always wondering what it was, and I just played it in cue and was like, oh, my God.
I could say something, but I'm not going to go there.
All right. I just figured you as a play-by-play man might be able to kind of uncode that.
I'm not
that.
So sure that I would use pitching a tent.
No, I don't think I've ever heard that used as an expression for buying time. I've ever heard that.
No, I have used set up camp.
Yeah, that I've heard that a million times.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that makes sense to me.
Actually, believe it or not, one time I think I used, he had so much time back there, he could dig a latrine.
Okay, I haven't heard that one. But, see, that's new. That's good. That's fresh. It's hot off the presses.
Yeah.
You know, like setting up camp or like reading the newspaper or anything like that, you think of, okay, you know, something that takes a lot of time to do, you know, anything like that. But never really thought of pitching a tent as.
You could also say, you know, Tom's got so much time, he's returning his BlackBerry messages.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be very, you know.
Yeah, something
new.
Anything but that. Anything but that.
Pitching a tent. Actually, I kind of liked it at the time. I don't even remember what game it was. I kind of liked he could dig a latrine. He's got enough time to dig a latrine back there. So, you know, that comes from someone who did a lot of camping as a kid.
Yeah, whatever floats your boat.
Right.
That's all you have to do in Texas.
I did a lot of camping. Oh, man, are you kidding me? Come on.
Did you ever go cow tipping?
Never went cow tipping.
No. Have you ever gone on top of a bull and done the rodeo thing?
Yes, I have.
That must be cool.
I have gone bull.
That's
riding.
One of the things that's on my list.
And live to talk about it.
That's good.
I've done it real and mechanical. I got to tell you, the mechanical bull was harder.
It was tougher. I've seen females ride the mechanical bulls.
I got bucked
bulls.
Off a lot quicker.
Yeah.
Now, granted, I probably didn't have the most wild real life bull when I rode. And plus,
well, you don't want to die.
Well, that's exactly right. I have to admit, I held on with both hands.
Yeah. No, I would.
If I was an actual rodeo cowboy, it's one hand, the other hand's up in the air.
In the air, yeah.
And I did that on the mechanical bull, and I got flipped off like in 3 seconds.
Yeah.
But you know, because they can maneuver it and twist it and manipulate
I mean, you have to be in this business. I mean, they're not going to take pity on you for saying you fell off a mechanical bull when you can't call a game the next day. So you have to kind of be careful too.
Right. Correct.
So there's a fine line between having fun and all that stuff, but still being responsible.
Yep. Toussaint listens to this. Rook and Kevin, I love the opening of the show, and here's what I think. The turning point of the season on offense was against Pitt. They went into two Heinz Field and clicked on all cylinders. Defense played well but gave up some points in garbage time. The turning point for the defense was Monday night against the Jets. Offense was on cruise control. Defense played 60 minutes, and the one big play was Brandon Spike's pick on the opening drive of the third quarter, which stalled a Jets drive. Those are my turning points for the season. You know, I think that's okay. I would agree with you in terms of defense Monday night against the Jets. There's no question about that. Anytime you basically, you know, punch somebody in the mouth, and that's what they did. Okay. I don't think there's a wrong answer with that one. Thanks, Toussaint. Appreciate that. Eric in Brooklyn. Who has caused more young units to grow this season? Will Fork or 3Y?
This is tough. I might have to bring Eric in for this one tomorrow. Eric would know.
I'm not going to continue, okay? I'm just not going to continue. I'm done. Oh, Sterling. Like Sammy Sosa, who is the master of the meaningless home run, Merriweather is the master of the meaningless interception fumble. I find it ironic that he deems the defense as non-credited on that WEEI public service announcement in this run while he is the weakest link in the defense. He really has to go after the season. Your thoughts? No. See, I'm gonna take Brandon's side here, Sterling. He says, good show, by the way, no matter what Fred said. Fred. Okay. Fred's not killing me, is he? I'm actually going to...
Sorry, B-Lo distracted me.
No, that's all right. B-Lo is a very distracting person.
He is.
You know? B-Lo needs to get a life.
But he says it stinks in here, apparently. Yeah. I have an odor to me today.
Well, did you not shower today?
I don't know. Did you smell me when I came in? I thought I smelled...
I don't really make a habit of smelling anything or anybody.
I showered, and I shaved, and nice and smooth.
You're telling me your personal hygiene is acceptable?
Today, yeah. Okay. I mean, I'll be the first one to admit that there are days when I, you know, like casual Friday where... I'll wake up and throw some jeans and a sweatshirt, and I won't shower.
I don't know that we really want to go there, do
I'm
we?
I'm just saying, though, but there's no show on Friday.
That's also true.
So just come in, and I sit here by myself and stink and archive stuff on EEI.
Oh, man, I didn't. That's
awesome.
It's information overload, brother. Some things are just
no, but
better off
he just
off
comes
unsaid.
In. He literally comes in and starts going like this to me.
Wow.
I'm like, what's the deal, man?
That's not right. Anyway, I was about to defend Merriweather. I think Merriweather is still... a physically talented player. Sometimes he doesn't play with all the smarts that we would like him to have. I'm not ready to get rid of him. I think there's still some very there's a lot of benefit to him.
He did make the Pro Bowl.
He did make the Pro Bowl, and I just don't think you're going to get rid of a Pro Bowl player that quickly. John says, great job on the show, great analysis. My one nitpick is the miscommunication between Brady and Crumpler on the second drive. Crumpler would have had an 80-yard touchdown catch if they had connected. That's a good one. Ah, you know what? I didn't even think of that. Will the Patriots' lack of depth and injuries on the defensive line end up being the thing that could hurt the Patriots, especially against a high-tempo team like Indy? That's also an interesting question because obviously they've put Ron Brace on IR. So Brace is done for the year. He won't come back. I'd be stunned if Mike Wright came back. And, again, that's just my own personal opinion. Well, good insight, John. The nitpick is good. That's a good nitpick. Yeah, you're right. They probably could have had an 80-yard touchdown. This one comes to Matt again. John, thanks for reading my email. First-time email from me. It's a pleasure to be on the show. The show is a breath of fresh air for fans looking to get away from arguing on PFW. Is this the same Matt from earlier? For your question... Team, I'd most like to face the Jets for the obvious reason. Defense is not nearly as good as they were last year. The offense is waning or winding down with Sanchez's receivers dropping passes left and right. They're clearly on the decline, and even if they come close to beating Indy, I'll be surprised. Ravens sound great because of Suggs' weird obsession with Brady, but the only thing I fear is that one of them might take a cheap shot. Team I'd least like to face are the Chiefs. On paper, it might look like an obvious victory, but remember we said that against the Browns. It's also a good point.
Yeah, see, I'm scared, or as Paul would say, I'm a scared of the Chiefs for maybe not that reason, but I'm with the emailer in terms of being scared of them. I don't think it's just a rollover game. They're not my first choice of who to play. I'd rank them in the middle of Baltimore and the Jets. I do not want to play Baltimore. They'd be the last choice. The Jets would be the first, and Kansas City would be in the middle.
I ain't afraid of nobody. There's my
my
best English.
I have cautious optimism.
And he says, my nitpick about the game was the ridiculous penalty on Wilfork. The quarterback clearly led with his head, and Wilfork had no chance adjusting to it that fast.
He just swallowed him up. I had no idea what the heck that was. That's another very good nitpick.
Yeah, that was dumb. That was just stupid.
If anything, he went right into his belly.
I know. There was no shot at Wilfork. I mean, sometimes when a player tries to duck or is trying to cover and knows that a 375-pound steamroller is coming at you, you're gonna shrink.
And I get
you're gonna
that.
Try to get down in the field position, and sometimes there's gonna be helmet to helmet contact through no fault of the tackler.
And that's
what happened on that play.
I get that, but he stayed low, and you know, I'm down there and I'm not more than 20 yards from this play, you know, on field level, and it looked like he just literally, Vince opened his arms up like this, like he was going to give him a bear hug and just swallowed him up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, it probably hurt because Vince landed on him and everything, but it definitely was not a vicious or malicious hit whatsoever.
Definitely. Did not qualify as that kind of a hit that should have been penalized.
I thought
and I know Terry McAuliffe.
Yeah, I thought it was ridiculous.
I actually know personally Terry McAuliffe.
Seems like a nice gentleman.
He is a nice guy. And I just, I don't know. He didn't, I don't think he, that was, I don't believe that was his call.
No.
It
might have been, though.
It could, well, I guess, yeah, from the offensive back,
the
referee,
backfield.
Yeah, he could have.
But the umpire's back there now.
Yeah,
but
see,
it's usually the referee's call.
I just, you know, I just think he blew it on that one.
Well, and everyone's
that didn't warrant it.
Everyone's entitled to miss a call,
yes,
to misinterpret
true.
A call.
And I'm,
and for us, actually, it comes in handy because it was in a game that A didn't matter, and the game was already well in hand to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you can nitpick about it, but if there's a silver lining to it, it happened at a good time if you're a Patriot fan.
Howard, who is coming to Foxborough? In my best estimation, I think it'll be the Ravens who end up here on the 13th. I believe the Colts beat the Jets and the Ravens beat the Chiefs. I think he meant 16th. I am torn between wanting the Jets and Ravens. Jets, although I don't think it will be a blowout like last time, I think it would be a convincing victory by the pass to shut them up once and for all. Ravens, to avenge last year's playoff loss, shut them up too. My nitpick, Darius Butler took another step backward as his coverage was subpar after having had a decent game the week prior. That's fair.
Yeah, he had that goofy pass interference that led to the touchdown.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Got a long one here from, who's this from? Sean. I'll go through it, Sean, just in the interest of time here, because I want to be able to get to Coach Belichick before we're through. He says, I'm rooting for Kansas City since I feel that the Chiefs will be the least challenging opponent. I also dislike the Jets and Ravens much more than Kansas City. I think the Colts and the Ravens will win this week, so the Ravens should be the Patriots' next opponent. I'm not afraid of Baltimore. New England is much better than they were in October. Vince Wilfork may have had his best season yet, and that's something with his career. He's a terrific leader of a young defense that is improving leaps and bounds every week. That being said, Brady is the league MVP, so he has to be the team MVP as well. That's fair. I just thought I would kind of offer that up as an alternative to Brady being the MVP, somebody that we didn't even consider, Vince Wilfork.
Yep.
Playoff predictions, he says Baltimore over Kansas City, Colts over Jets, Pitt over Indy, Patriots over Ravens. And he says New England over the Steelers. And he has the Patriots over the Packers in the Super Bowl. Thank you, Sean.
The Pack making quite the run.
I like that, too.
I don't want to play the Packers.
That's my prediction.
I don't want to play them.
I'm saying Patriots-Packers. I got to stick with my original Packers.
Yeah.
And I'm going to, you know, think the Patriots are going to get there.
My
now,
original was Eagles, so.
All right. Gene says, John and Kevin, turning points of the season where they hurt us and how Belichick turned them into positives. That got us to 14-2. Wes coming back early, performing well. Big Cincinnati win with a bunch of rookies. Belichick satisfaction and tremendous relief after retooling the offense, not using Randy. Belichick getting Dion from Seattle for Tom to relieve any concerns Tom might have had about the offense. Sadly seeing Fred Taylor and Kevin going down, but Benny and Danny stepping in at the opportunity. Logan coming back 2 weeks early just because he loves the game. Gronk reminds me of a kid at the playground that's just having fun playing a game, and I don't think this kid is capable of being nervous and dropping a pass. I don't know about that
part. I don't know. I know that he can drop passes.
Yeah,
I've seen
can.
It.
We've seen it. Opponents talking up Spygate, I chalk up a win. You're right, John, about Vince Wilfork. He's the Pats MVP. He's taking on the toughest job, holding a bunch of rookies together and coaching them up on the field while doing his own job. Thank you, Gene, in Daytona. John, two questions here. And he says, okay, who do I want to play? Maybe unpopular, maybe more of an emotional one rather than technical, but I want to play the Ravens. Pats have had a history, whether they admit it or not, of playing well against teams that give them bulletin board material. Terrell Suggs has given us enough trash talking to make up for the whole team. This is true. Number two, it's hard to pick anyone but Brady for team MVP. I do think Wilfork deserves massive recognition. But it was Tom that took the reins of the team after the Cleveland loss. He yelled, he screamed, he turned the team into a well-oiled machine. Hey, how about a tie? Name him co-MVP. Works for me. Gene, longtime Pats fan in Denver. Are the Jets still talking crap? Love to see the Pats kill them again. Frankly, that's kind of how I feel. John in South Carolina sent me the link to Terrell Suggs again. Thank you. Appreciate that, John. KB from Atlanta, just for the hell of it, how do you think Moss is feeling with the success of the Patriots so far? Yeah, I'm sure he's not liking it too much, to be quite honest with you. Eric in Brooklyn says, no, Gronk's flub was not a fair catch. It came on a kickoff. Fair catches are only called on punts. Perhaps he did call for the catch, but not a fair catch. Well, you can do that.
You can fair catch kickoff.
You can fair
you
catch
absolutely
a kickoff.
Can. And he did wave his arm. You have to wave your arm above shoulder height to signal a fair catch.
But he
fair
thought
catch.
He thought the guy behind him,
Sammy Morris
was going to get it. Yeah. Morris thought he was going to get it. There was no communication.
But that's
there.
False. You can fair catch a kickoff.
Hey, John, this is freaking Brooklyn Matt, the one and only Brooklyn Matt. Bad Kevin is Bad Kevin. The two are mutually exclusive of each other. What's the dealio with this newbie emailer, Matt from New York? Yo, I got dibs on all the five boroughs. That's all my turf. Hey, new Matt, get a new moniker for the next time or you'll be swimming with the fishes.
Wow, slinging email threats.
Ty from Arlington's email back. He is, I live 5 minutes away from the stadium. I pass by the stadium every day driving to work. Can't help staring at that giant spaceship. Ty, we're partying with you, brother. Okay? Ty's house.
Hopefully.
Be there.
Hopefully.
Okay? All right. That's going to we're going to take a timeout here. Then we're going to come back, and we're going to let you listen to Coach Belichick because, frankly, we're not going to get a chance to listen to too much stuff this week. So we're going to take Bill Belichick into the equation, and then Pete Shepard will be right here. Follow us with the Pete Shepard Show. Same Pats time, same Pats channel tomorrow with more good stuff in the playbook.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
We're pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program.
Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the playbook.
Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2 on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's got to be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian. You can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only, equipment charges, taxes, and fees, and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation and account setup fee may apply in some states.
Get ready for a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. You could win an all-inclusive weekend trip to Super Bowl 45. You're already halfway there. Just enter for your chance to win right here at patriots.com. Simply click on the Verizon logo to play the Gridiron Challenge. It's that easy. And you could win weekly prizes, including Patriots tickets, autographed merchandise, and more. Start playing today. Brought to you by Verizon. No purchase necessary to enter or win. Must be a legal U.S. resident 18 years or older. Ends December 27th, 2010. Void where prohibited. For official rules, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. Now's your chance to hit up John Rook inside the playbook on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-543-7482.
Well, we left here last night, we were 14-2, and I think this morning we're 0-0. Don't know who the next game is, but we know it, whoever it is will be a team that wins this coming weekend, which means they'll be a very good team to win in that wild card round of the playoffs. So I think right now most important thing for us is to try to improve in our own performance and preparation, doing things that we can do to help ourselves, and then once we find out who we're going to play, then we'll be a little more specific. Right now we have to prepare for three teams, and then we know whether that gets trimmed down at the end of the weekend. So so that's where we're at for today.
We saw you use several combinations in the game. As you mentioned, a good chance to get players game experience that maybe haven't played as much. Curious your thoughts on if Matt Light went down, would you go Ojinaka at left tackle, or would you flip Vollmer over and then put Ojinaka in at right side?
That comes up. We'll make a decision we feel is best for our team at that time, depending on who we're playing and so forth. So, it's part of the evaluation yesterday is to see who can do what. But, all those guys have done it. LaVar's played over there. Ojinaka's played over there. Vollmer's played over there. So, that's part of keeping everybody, having our depth on our team to have players that can play multiple positions is to keep everybody ready to go there. So, hopefully we would have some options. Hopefully it won't come to that, but if it did, we'd have a couple options to consider.
What were your thoughts on Taylor Price's first game action of the season?
Thought he did some good things. It's really his first chance to play since preseason. I thought he did some good things. Caught the ball inside, caught it in some traffic. Some other things he could have done better, but I thought he showed up and made some positive plays for us.
One other kind of random thing. Was that Kyle Love on kickoff coverage?
I think Kyle was on two kickoffs, yeah.
Was that something that he kind of wanted to do that was kind of quirky and, sort of like the drop kick, or was that something that you actually might do since he moves okay for a big guy?
I thought he was pretty competitive run down there and covering, so. Again, you never know when you need an extra guy.
So can
this a case, Bill, of the Dan Connolly situation? You get all these big guys champing at the bit, wanting to get on the special teams?
No, I don't think it's so much a case of that. It's just, we only have so many guys on our team, and special teams, you got really 66 spots there when you look at all six units and, 11 guys apiece. That's a lot of players just in the kicking game, so. You can't have a backup for every position. Just not enough guys, but, somewhere along the line, you have to practice people that can, in an emergency, have to go in there and play. And again, yesterday we were fortunate. We had a few kickoffs and we were able to put Kyle in there and take a look at, in a game situation, to let him do some of the things that, or one of the things that he'd done in practice.
So how did you feel Brian Hoyer responded in that first half when you kind of put him in there in that, just kind of sudden situation? How do you feel he responded to that?
Some some good things, some things he could have done better.
Could that be an evaluation for his play throughout the afternoon or just in that specific situation? Do you think he did better in the second half?
The first half was a much shorter. He's only in for a handful of plays. Second half, he had an opportunity to play more. But, I would say overall it would be true for the whole game. He did a lot of good things. He, handled himself and the team well in a lot of situations. There's a couple things that he definitely could do better. And, I'm sure he's aware of some of those. The other ones are maybe more subtle, and we'll point those out to him. No different than any other player, really.
Time for a couple final questions.
Bill, this is a tough day around the league for a lot of guys, with coaches getting fired and staffs changing and all that. Do you take any time to reflect on what kind of a day this is for a lot of those, a lot of those guys, coaches getting fired after two or three seasons and kind of the reality of all this?
Well, I think unfortunately, that's kind of the way it is in the National Football League these days. A lot of coaches didn't even make it through the season. So, guys, 1 year they're in the Super Bowl, the next year they're out of a job. And we've seen that over the last, 5-6 years. A lot of great coaches getting fired at the end of the season, or a lot of guys, not in football, that when you start to look at Super Bowl coaches and Super Bowl champion coaches and coaches with outstanding records and multiple division championships and so forth, that aren't coaching a team at the end of the year, you can put together a pretty impressive list. So I think that's kind of the nature of the National Football League right now. It's unfortunate. To me, it's an unfortunate commentary on it, but, you'd have to ask the people that are doing the hiring and firing about that.
Bill, in regards to running back Danny Woodhead, is it too early to tell if what kept him out of the game yesterday would be something that could keep him out of the playoffs?
Well, like we always do, Mike, we'll bring the players in. They'll be in on Wednesday, and we'll go from there.
Take a final question.
Bill, I'm just curious. The team seems to really have bought into the fact that there's always room for improvement and despite 14 wins. And I'm just curious how difficult a sell has that been this year for these guys?
One thing I'll say about this team, they've been pretty consistent. Come to work every day, want to improve, want to get better. And I think that's a great attitude and a great approach to have. I think really, all of us should be that way. We all come in, there's certainly things we can all do better. Once you recognize and identify what those are, then you take the next step and figure out what you need to do to correct the situation or improve it, and then you work at it. And then generally, eventually, what will happen is it will improve. It will get better. And I think our players, for the most part, have done a good job of taking constructive criticism. More importantly, trying to do something about it and trying to improve it. And then I think we've seen positive results both on the practice field and in the games, that hard work and those corrections have resulted in better performance. And when that's the case, then that usually makes it a lot easier to do it the next time. It reinforces the whole process. And that's what we all need to do. We need to continue to coach better, to game plan better, to practice better, to play better. And, the next game we play will be the toughest game of the year. We know that. So whatever we did in the past, whatever it was or wasn't, it needs to be better. It needs to be our best. We're going to get our toughest competition in our next game. So I think that's what we're all pointing for. And however we can improve our performance between now and then, I think all of us should do whatever we can to address that and improve it. That's our commitment to each other. That's our commitment to the team. And I'd say overall the players have done a good job of that during the season. And, again, it's no different for the coaching staff. There's certainly a lot of things we can do better. I know I can do a better job of coaching in certain areas, and I'm sure that goes for the rest of the staff. And, we got to work harder to, make sure that we do as good a job as we can do to prepare and coach the players so they can do their jobs.
All right, everyone. Thank you, Coach.
All right.
Thanks, everyone. We'll see you Wednesday.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
I'm pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2 on American Airlines Patriots.com Radio.